Right, we have a little follow-up to our time, as usual. So, yes, go right ahead.
Several different things that I was thinking about. You know, this isn't a different God than the God we have today.
You're whispering, Connie. We can't hear you.
Okay. We don't have a different God today. This is the same God. You know, because I don't know if you've gone through this. Maybe it was part of my DID, SRA phenomenology, but I realized one day that I had this concept of, you know, well, Old Testament and way back when, that was just different. They weren't like us. And one day it was like, no, they're human beings just like us. They walk this earth. That is truth. It's the same God. And so when I'm hearing this tonight, I say this is the God we serve, and there is hope because of Him, not because of us. And really just to see the humble vessels that He used. And on the last paragraph when He says, He has turned to account His enemies, He has made them serve His ends. We do not know the meaning of life, real divine life, except as we come to know something of the cross. And I really think, like with DID, SRA, you know, how much deeper could the enemy take you into death? It's, you know, it's the worst of the worst. Yeah. And so as people are pulled out of these places of captivity, how large a place for God to, for Himself to indwell that person. And in the middle of the journey, sometimes, you know, all you're aware of is the death side of things. But really to keep that perspective that it is faith. In faith, we do the work. You come alongside our sister here. She does the work. All the other people we're have worked with, and my own self. You know, it's like in faith we do the work and we come alongside others. And sometimes you don't see the fruit. And I was just talking to Ivan about that recently. It's like, there's so much right now in our lives that it's a faith thing. We don't see the tangible evidence of things sometimes, but you just persevere, hang in there. And so I think in DID, SRA, I mean, it's like, wow, it's like the enemy's fortress. And then God takes that fortress just like He did, you know, in David's time, and it becomes His dwelling place, and how large a place for Him to dwell, because how large was Satan's place there. So we may not always see that, like right when we're in the middle of it, but it's faith. We just, in faith, keep moving forward. So.
Yeah. You mentioned the Old Testament.
Oh, thank you. In the Old Testament. You know, there's two passages in the New Testament where Paul refers to the Old Testament regarding its significance to us as believers in this dispensation. And the first one is in Romans 15, verse 4. Paul says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement from the Scriptures, we might have hope." So there, we just saw an example. Sparks going through all these different lives. And so that's what Paul is saying here in Romans 15:4. "Now may the God of hope, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then verse 13, "Now may the God of hope," and the genitive there, the God who is the source of all hope, the God who generates hope, "fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And the other passage is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul is warning the Corinthians, especially in chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, you're not going to win a prize if you don't recognize the peril that you're in, just the carnal state that you're in. 1 Corinthians 1 through 4, there's carnal, fleshly babes. You're in a very precarious situation. And so he warns them in 1 Corinthians 10, And the warning is the Exodus generation. He uses the Exodus generation as the illustration of the state and condition that the Corinthians were in. He says, you know, they all ate the same spirit. They're all baptized into Moses. They all, you know, passed through the sea, chapter 1, 10, verses 1 and 2. They drank the same spiritual drink, verse 4. Nevertheless, verse 5, with most of them, the Exodus generation, God's covenant people, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. So the Corinthians spiritually are in the wilderness. So we just saw, we just read that tonight, how Sparks took the illustrations from these Old Testament passages. They're laid low. And it says, verse 6, now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved, nor to be, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, which was an orgiastic kind of an event. And let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a day. In other words, Christians, you can die just like them. Let us, church-age believers, not try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. So Paul is making very relevant what happened to the Old Testament saints is applicable to this situation at Corinth. And so he goes on to say, verse 11, now these things happened to them, Old Testament saints, as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come or reached their goal. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 14. So, the Old Testament is absolutely relevant to instruct us in life and conduct, even though it's a different dispensation. It's there for our instruction. Ready for this? Yes.
As you were opening up to the New Testament, I thought about the verse in Ephesians 2, 1, and 4. Actually, I was just thinking of the first couple words in each one of those and then remembered where they were. Turn to it. But when you think of death and resurrection, before I thought of these verses, I was thinking of the fact if we stop at ourselves or our eyes are on ourselves or even others, it's death, isn't it? But we go a step further and it's God, and that's resurrection. And all of his promises to us that he will see us through, and that he who began a good work in us will complete it. You know, we can't stop with self or we'll be stuck in death. But anyway, Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you being dead. Then verse 4, but God. So there's the principle. And you, dead, but God, rich in mercy, grace, ability to see you through. So that I just appreciate that. And I'm amazed at the way Sparks just goes through the Old Testament and shows death, resurrection, and just how God sovereignly is working in all the way through the Old Testament and, of course, the New, to bring life out of death. And as Nancy Lee DeMoss Wogelmuth says, that the king has one move, one last move. He always has the last say, and that's resurrection. But his example that he gave of Elisha, when he took those people and gave them over to the king of Israel, and that principle being that the Lord wants us to not just conquer and see our enemy dead and crushed, but for that to add to our lives. And so, excuse me, he said, you know, the king says, shall I smite them? And Elisha says, do you want to smite them? Give them a good meal and send them on their way. And that's just that adding. Yes, he conquered them, but then he let them go. And that added to his character. His just the kind of person he was, and he made friends of them. In other words, I thought about that verse, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So we can either, we can make an enemy by talking back to them and giving them a harsh word. But what do? Instead, we give a gentle answer and it turns away the wrath. So we are more than conqueror in that situation, more than we would be in having the last word, in having the final say, you know. So I just think that's just part of the ways of the Lord. So he was more than conqueror, Brother Sparks says. He might have wiped them out, but instead he made them friends. What a beautiful picture of our Lord. And you being dead, but God being rich. God made us his friends. He could have wiped us all out.
Anyone else? Well, Father, we thank you for this time to consider your word again and to receive encouragement through your word. So we ask your blessing upon those that will be listening. We pray in Jesus' name.